The following is a special message from Alan Wright Ministries. What we need right now is hope. Because of that, here at Sharing the Light, we've chosen to bring out one of our most requested vintage series, I Hope So, from Pastor Alan Wright.
Hope, scripturally, is not wishful thinking about something good that might happen.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright. Welcome to Sharing the Light, a program of healing and hope, sharing the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Daniel Britt, eager for you to hear Alan's message in a series called I Hope So, taken from the pulpit at Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. If you want to know more about I Hope So, listen up next here on Sharing the Light. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. And stay with us at the end of today's broadcast for a special offer to help you in your spiritual life. Here now with today's teaching is Alan Wright.
In Romans chapter 5 through 8, chapter 5 begins with hope, chapter 8 ends with hope. These chapters are about the hope of the gospel. And I have not preached about hope much in my life. I know there's faith, there's hope, there's love. It's one of the big three. But it has seemed to me a bit of a weaker concept than faith or love or even the peace that passes understanding. And so I have set my heart upon these texts to understand the power of hope, which is such a prevalent part of the passion of Paul's theology and is essential to the Christian soul. And so we are redefining hope in a biblical concept of what hope really means. And therefore, it becomes very, very powerful to us. Instance to help distinguish between the world's notion of hope and biblical hope. A fun thing happened while I was on vacation one day. Bennett, our 14-year-old, went out to play nine holes of golf, and we came to the seventh hole. And we'd been playing the back tees, and so all the holes were long, and we came to this hole. It was a little shorter. It was a great relief to have a shorter hole. And we both hit really good drives, best drives of the day, in the middle of the fairway. And, of course, I still outdrove him. But anyway, he had a gap wedge in, and I had a lob wedge, so they were close in. The flag is hidden behind a big bunker, so it was a blind shot. You could see the top of the flag, but you couldn't see the green because it was all the front of it was one kind of elevated bunker. And so we both were feeling good over it, took dead aim, and his shot was first. I said, man, you cannot hit a wedge better than that. That was going right at it. Great shot, I said. Then I took my lob wedge, and if I do say so myself, I caught the sweet spot on this baby, and it was on target, and I was just, you know, what golfers holler then is, you know, be the club, baby. I mean, I know I hit it good. It's just, was it the right distance? Is it the right stick? And so I knew we had two good shots up there. Had two, and we jumped in the cart to ride up there, and we get up to the side of the green and look, and there's a golf ball that's 2 feet from the hole. And we're like, whoa, who is that? You know, that's a gimme for birdie. And then we looked, and we said, where's the other golf ball? And we're like, man, and I knew that they were both good shots. And my ever-present optimism, I said, Bennett, run up there, look in that hole. And he runs and he looks and he says, there's a ball in the hole. And the good news was it was my ball that was in the hole. And so we had scored on a par four between the two of us a five. And which is usually better than my score individually on a par four. But anyway, when we were driving that golf cart up to the green, we might have said, I hope these balls are in the hole. I hope it's in the hole. We might have said, I use the word hope like that. And what we would mean if we said that is, I wish that that ball might, it could be in the hole. I wish it were so. It is unlikely that it's in the golf hole because it just the ball doesn't tend to go in the hole like that very often. And so it's probably not in there, but I hope it is in the hole. And that's the way in our normal usage of the word hope, we tend to use that word. Like a child saying, I hope I get a pony for my birthday. I probably won't get a pony, but I hope that I do. In other words, we use it as a wishful thought. That is not the biblical notion of hope. Hope, scripturally, is not wishful thinking about something good that might happen. Hope, biblically, is the confident expectancy that permeates the Christian's heart because of my supreme confidence that Christ has died for me, redeemed me, and I am his child, and therefore the condition of my life is one of hope. So it's more like when we're driving the golf cart up to that golf green, and I'm driving the cart a little bit faster and a little bit happier than I had on other shots that day. Because there are other times where more often than not, it wasn't that clean of a shot, and it's probably in the rough or in the bunker, and it's nowhere near the hole. I knew that the way it came off the club, and so I don't drive up to that green with a lot of hope. But in this case, I'm driving up to the green a little faster, a little more excited, because I know there are two good golf shots up there. I know. I saw them. I know. I just didn't know exactly how it would be manifested, so I don't see it yet, but I absolutely know they're up there, so I might as well get on up there and see what it is. That is hope. And what Paul has to teach us is that when suffering comes in life, we are not like the world where we're just simply saying, well, I wish it would get better. We have something much deeper than that, and it's called hope. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. By way of review, I will read starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So hope is not listed in Galatians as a fruit of the Spirit. Hope is not something that you get simply by having an encounter of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, as important as that is. But hope is a condition of the Christian soul that comes about by a distinct process. And this process, Paul says, is where there is suffering, and the word for this literally means pressure, that comes in life, and that pressure, as we move through it, the difficult trials, the things that weigh against us in life, it produces endurance. The quality of enduring is only attained by having to face difficult things. Endurance only makes sense in the context of having to bear up under the weight of life. And when you do, that endurance produces what the Bible calls character. Isn't it interesting that the central definition or linkage of what character is character is what a person has who has learned to not give up. You want to know what character is? It begins and ends with the maturity of soul to not despair at life's circumstances, but to keep on bearing up by the grace of God. That's character. And what Paul says is that that character produces hope. So it is like the process of suffering, enduring, building character is a factory inside of the Christian that is manufacturing regular hope. So hope has its genesis, ironically, in the worst difficulties of life.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Remember how you felt as a kid the day before Christmas? Empty stockings hanging by the fireplace just waiting to be filled, colorful packages just waiting to be ripped open. It's a wonderful feeling when you're certain that something good is coming. And there's a word for that posture of heart, hope. Biblical hope isn't about pie-in-the-sky dreams. It's about certainty of a blessed future. If a child says, "I hope I get a pony for Christmas," that's wishful thinking. But if a child says, "I don't know what I'm going to get for Christmas, but I know it's going to be good," that is hope. If you're ready for fresh hope, join Pastor Alan Wright for an amazing exploration of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's a 12-message CD album called I Hope So. You'll delve deep into the waters of grace, where you'll discover why the law cannot save, heal, or deliver. You'll discover how hope can set you free and make you alive on the inside. It's Pastor Alan Wright's CD album, I Hope So. Maybe it's time for you to feel like a kid at Christmas again. The gospel is shared when you give to Sharing the Light. Call us at 877-544-4860 or come to our website, sharingthelight.org.
You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
This is what he says at verse 5 where I focus our attention. Hope does not disappoint us. That's the rendering of the New International Version, but it is better in a more literal rendering, such as the English Standard Version or King James Version. Hope does not put us to shame. That is literally what it says. And the word that is used for shame is an intensified word of the New Testament Greek word for shame. So there is a word that means to dishonor or disgrace, and this word in verse 5 adds the Greek prefix that means down to this word to intensify it. So what it literally means is, and hope does not put us down in worse shame. That the hope of the gospel is entirely different from wishful thinking, which might put you to shame. But this hope, Paul says I'm describing, will not let you suffer disgrace. And the heart cry of all of humanity is, do not let me be put to shame. Such is the word of the psalmist in Psalm 25, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. Psalm 119. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. That's the cry throughout the old covenant is, God, do not let my enemies exult over me. Don't let it be that through these sufferings that I come to a place where I'm ultimately disgraced and I'm made the laughing stock of my enemies who have taunted me all the day long. It is the mocking spirit of hell that seeks to put to shame the people of God with the threat of future disgrace over potential failure. That's a large part of what hell does. So when Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem that had been decimated by the Babylonian Empire, In the days of the small beginnings, they would come and mock Nehemiah and the workers. Their first tactic was mock them. Look at your pathetic little wall. It couldn't keep a fox out. You're not going to be able to finish this. You're not going to be able to succeed. And what's going to happen is you're going to spend all this time and all this energy, and what you're going to have is a pathetic, puny excuse for a wall, and we're all going to be standing there laughing in your face. So you might as well give up and quit trying to build your stupid little wall. That is the voice of every demon in hell. It is ultimately expressed in its most stark terms at the foot of the cross with that demonic, spiteful mockery. Behold, the King of the Jews. He saved others. He can't save himself. We laugh in your face. Oh God, do not let my enemies mock me and exult over me. And Paul is saying, the hope of God will never let you be put to shame. And that is an extraordinary thought. The urgency of Paul in this is to speak to Christians who are suffering at the hands of many different forms of persecution, not least of which many first century Christians would face, with economic persecution. It was the ultimate economic downturn for them. Often denied places in the marketplace, often denied even being able to be employed as a form of persecution against them. And the urgency is to the very nature of the mission that they had could be extinguished if the people lost hope and quit proclaiming the gospel. And even more so, what he's saying is if you lose your ability to rejoice in the midst of suffering, then there will be no joy to be our strength and there'll be no witness to the world. And so he's kind of get this across. It's a matter of life and death. It really is. That's hope is a matter of life and death. Jerry was the one who taught me to play golf. He lived, he and his family lived next to my mom and stepfather when I was in college, and I came home having taken PE in golf at Carolina and decided I wanted to play golf, and he taught me how to play golf, and he was very patient, and Jerry had a twinkle in his eye. He had, he was a cute personality. He was fun. He loved people. He was a simple man. He had not always lived a life before God. He had had a rough life. He'd had a struggle with alcohol in his life. He'd been wonderfully saved, and he loved to talk about the Lord, and he loved to talk about golf. And we played a lot of golf together, and I loved Jerry a lot. And Jerry loaded trucks for a living. And he liked it because he could get done with his work early and the early shift and have an afternoon to play golf. And over all the years of working for this big trucking company, he hurt his back and he really couldn't lift anymore. And so he sought to get the appropriate disability, and the company was denying his claims. And he went on a prolonged, engaged effort to get compensation, and he did not succeed, and now back disability pay was accumulating, and so he sought out the help of a lawyer who was a fine man, but not by any means a powerful law firm. And they were up against a massive company, one of the big transportation companies in the country, with an entire legal office. Jerry had come into faith, and he loved the Lord, and he had learned some things about faith, and he'd learned some things about learning to stand on God's word, which are very good. But just a subtle distortion in his mind that he believed that as he proclaimed that he would get this nice settlement from the lawsuit and that would sustain him and his family, he put his hope in that. And what happened was, after about 2 years of a legal battle, eventually the big firms, the big company, just overwhelmed him. It fizzled, and there was no money. There was nothing. And I'll never forget when I next saw Jerry, and there was no twinkle in his eye, and he said, "It's just not true. None of it was true." And he lost his love for life and returned to former habits, and not many years thereafter died a young man. And this past weekend, my niece was married in Charlotte, and at the reception, Jerry's widow was there, and she said, "I've got to just brag a little bit and show you my clan." And she pulled out all the pictures of the grandchildren that Jerry never met. I'm telling you, it's life and it's death. And that is why all of hell seeks to put us to shame and say, "Your gospel is not true. It does not work. Look at you. You are suffering. Look at you. You lost your job. Look at you. You lost the marriage. Look at you. You failed. Look at you. You have sinned. It is not true. And you are going to be put to disgrace. So you better grab what you can grab, get what you can get, and forget everybody else. Because if you keep on the course that you're going, we will mock you to the very end. And your enemies will exult over you." That is what is at stake. Paul says, "Our hope does not put us to shame."
Alan Wright, you're listening to Sharing the Light. And today's teaching, Hope Without Shame.
Remember how you felt as a kid the day before Christmas? Empty stockings hanging by the fireplace just waiting to be filled. Colorful packages just waiting to be ripped open. It's a wonderful feeling when you're certain that something good is coming. And there's a word for that posture of heart. Hope. Biblical hope isn't about pie-in-the-sky dreams. It's about certainty of a blessed future. If a child says, "I hope I get a pony for Christmas," that's wishful thinking. But if a child says, "I don't know what I'm going to get for Christmas, but I know it's going to be good," that is hope. If you're ready for fresh hope, join Pastor Alan Wright for an amazing exploration of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's a 12-message CD album called I Hope So. You'll delve deep into the waters of grace, where you'll discover why the law cannot save, heal, or deliver. You'll discover how hope can set you free and make you alive on the inside. It's Pastor Alan Wright's CD album, I Hope So. Maybe it's time for you to feel like a kid at Christmas again. The gospel is shared when you give to Sharing the Light. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860 or come to our website, sharingthelight.org.
So, Alan, hope isn't just a might happen type of attitude. Is there something concrete here?
Yes, it's like saying, the illustration I use, Christmas is coming, you know, or a little girl, my birthday is coming.
Right.
It's not that I hope that I'll have a birthday. It's I know I'll have a birthday, and I know there's going to be a birthday party, and so I get to look forward to it. Well, that looking forward to it and shaping what we do now gives life a sense of joy and expectancy and power, and that's really what we're talking about with hope. We're talking about something that is certain in the future.
We're always encouraged to hear from you, whether you visit online at sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Again, sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional in your inbox each morning when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.